Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
It's Christmas time, so Ted and I talk about seasonal traditions and Norwegian holiday food. While some people experience a lot of joy during the holidays, others don't. We look at two passages from Psalms about corporate celebration and the reality of mourning. Plus, we talk about new music that I put out on Spotify and Bandcamp. Thank you for listening. This is episode 14. You've been writing songs lately.
Yeah, we have. Well, when you spend time with the Lord and in His Word, sometimes the overflow, He blesses with creativity. So we've got five in the process.
Five, awesome.
Five. I'm trying to catch up to you. A
couple Christmas ones?
Two Christmas ones, yeah. The one this morning actually was kind of an Irish style and really dealt with the prophecy of Micah 5:2.
Now, what do you mean by Irish style? Because I think of a jig, I think of river dance, or then I think of like maybe Celtic harmonies.
Or maybe what's more Celtic, Irish style? Maybe, what's that, Wren Collective, more of like kind of a vibe maybe.
Okay, I think, Wren Collective.
Maybe more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And aren't they Irish?
I think so.
I think so.
Some of them are.
Some of them
They might not all be.
We'll see how it's
a collective vibe.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the seed that's been planted. So we'll see how that gets produced.
Looking forward to hearing those five songs.
We gotta get them past quality control, and then you know all about quality control.
I do indeed.
Indeed, that's right. My quality control is my wife, and love her to pieces.
Yep. Got to get past that layer before it can get to the public.
That's right. That's right. If it passes that layer, then we're able to move ahead.
Yeah. Forward. I'm in the stage where I just completely bypass that quality control. And I'm like, hey, I put these songs out. Listen to them if you want.
Yeah. Sometimes.
And sometimes she does.
I'm a fragile soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be kind.
We both are.
Yeah. I know.
That's what you get if you're a songwriter. I don't know anybody who's a songwriter and is like, thick-skinned, I think.
Yeah,
it's because you put yourself out there.
I think that the songwriting workshops that you've probably led or have been to attended. I know the ones that I've attended. You know, they say, oh, you have to kind of like open your hand, release the song. You know, you've given birth to this song. It's your child, but you're letting it go. You're letting it go. You know, and that's so difficult.
Yeah,
to let it go. It's just like you want to. I open my hand, but it's like, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, and you want people to say good things about it. You want people to appreciate it the way that you do. And it's hard. It's hard to disconnect. Yeah. We've talked about it before, but it's hard to disconnect what you make from who you are. You know,
that is.
So people can not like a song I wrote and still fully like me. That's totally true.
That's true. Fine. Right.
But it doesn't always feel that way.
That's right. Well, they don't like me at all, but they like the songs.
Yeah, it could go the other way. You're right.
It could go the other way. That's right. I really don't like you, but I do like your songs.
It's really not connected, but it feels so connected to the artist.
It does.
So that's a journey we're all on, for sure.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I recently put out music, too.
Yeah.
I had like an album worth of songs. I had 8 songs. 3 or 4 of them are ones that we've done Sunday mornings, like done for worship, or maybe for worship night or something, so that we do here. And then the other songs were just songs that, you know, more personal, that aren't really written for corporate worship, per se. But as I was trying to put them together, I realized they had like really different sounds and really different vibes. And it would have felt weird to just put them all on one album,
thing.
You know?
Oh, okay.
So that's why I decided to release them separately. I just did like 2 EPs, basically. Or like, it's like a double album, but they're mini albums.
Yeah, they're mini albums.
So it's a double mini album, maybe?
Yeah, it's good. They're on Bandcamp, right? On your Bandcamp?
Yeah, they're on Spotify. But if you go on Bandcamp, you can get the demos of the songs too. So some of the songs are more produced and have like some more synth sort of style. But then I'll have like an acoustic version too. If it's a song that we do in church, like Keep My Eyes on Jesus or Deeper With You, that people, if they're not into the more produced version, maybe they'll appreciate the demo.
So when you go and put your songs on Bandcamp, do you put lyrics in or sometimes or all the time?
Yeah, I always put the lyrics up and I put like little notes about it because there's a section like about the song or about the album. And so, I always write a little.
You can get the backstory a little bit about it.
Yeah, if there's a backstory, if there's a scripture that goes along with it, or sometimes I want to comment on the instrumentation. Yeah. So there's a song on the one of the albums is more synth heavy and one of the albums is a lot more like folk Americana. There's banjos and stuff. And so on that folk album, River plays a saxophone on one of the songs, which is really cool. So there's stuff like that that I'll comment on. And also on the writing of the songs. So, you know, Scott Russell helped me write Deeper With You. That was kind of his idea, and we wrote that the lyrics of that together. So I'll comment on that kind of thing. That's cool.
Yeah, they worked that together. That's good.
So that's all up on Bandcamp. It's pilgrimhouse.bandcamp.com is my website, and that's where my music is. It just went up, so that's good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
You know,
you
can purchase it Christmas. Yeah. It's not Christmas-themed, although it is Jesus-themed, which what's more Christmas than Jesus? So That's right.
And every day can be Christmas.
Every day is Christmas when you're
When you know Jesus.
Right. A lot of times people ask me if there's songs that we sing in church, hey, where can I listen to those? And if it's original, then I'm like, oh, well, you can't if it's not recorded or if it's not out. But now there is a place where those songs exist, either on Spotify, Pilgrim House, or on Bandcamp.
Well, go to Bandcamp, get the songs, and then when you have it on your phone, you can just loop it and just play the song over and over and over again. That way it's great.
You can learn it really well.
That's right. Well, did you get all your Christmas shopping done?
I did. We're still a couple weeks out from Christmas, and I'm done. I'm now in the phase of helping the rest of my family get their shopping done. So I got to take my kids to the store so they can do some shopping.
And that's good.
But yeah, I got
it all
done.
I'm not done at all.
Okay. Have you started?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
You're in the pre-planning phase.
I am the pre-planning phase. Usually I'm the last guy. Oh, it's December 24th. What time is it? The close? 11:59. I better get hurried.
You're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm that guy. When my oldest got him a bike, you know, I'm that dad who was in the garage trying to put it all together the night before.
Sure.
So you could put a bow on it and roll it in so they'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, the bike held together.
That's good.
And I can watch my son wreck and so forth.
One of the worst experiences of my life was trying to put a bike together. I didn't have any tools. It came with it was in China. It came with an Allen wrench that was not the right size. And so I was just going through, and I didn't have any tools in China. I was just trying to make do with what I had. And it was similar. It was night before you got to put the bike together for Christmas. And man, I probably lost my salvation more than once. I was so angry and just I was furious. And I was weeping at one point. It took hours and hours, and I was praying through the tears. I was like, God, this is deliver me from this bike. It's one of the worst things that I've ever tried to do. And it eventually it really did miraculously work. This wrench thing that I had wasn't working. And then all of a sudden it threaded. I know that the Lord did it because I still to this day hate that bike and I will never do it again. Even though I witnessed a miracle.
That's right.
It was that was it.
That's, yeah.
So Christmas is coming up.
Christmas
and
is
haven't,
coming
up. You haven't done your shopping yet.
I'm wondering
what's going to be under the O'Farrell tree.
Yeah. We always have the standard stocking stuffers.
Okay.
You know, it's some kind of little treat that, you know, anybody can eat. Usually if it's my wife, it has to be with a dark chocolate variety. And and then usually because I'm a coffee guy, there's a gift card for a coffee place, you know, a gift card for that. So I'm giving it all away if they listen to this. And then, under the tree, who knows? One of the things that we look forward to is my grandmother was Norwegian, and she would always make a Christmas bread. It was called julekaka. And so my wife has learned that and over the years has baked this Christmas bread for us every year, julekaka.
Can you describe it? What's it like?
We just love it. Well, it's just basically like a fruit bread. You know, it's got fruit in it and or candied fruit. Mm-hmm. And cardamom is, I think, the secret ingredient. Mm-hmm. And so she bakes that, and it's really good. Just toast it with some butter. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Nice.
And so we look forward to that.
That's cool. What's some other holiday season traditions you guys observe?
Oh, well, food-wise, the other thing, my mom started this, and she would make, we call it, it's macaroni souffle. Mm-hmm. So it's like mac and cheese on steroids. I mean, it's great stuff. It's got And you may not like this, but it's really good. It's got mac, it's got cheese, it's got some people like mushrooms. It's got mushrooms in it. It's got other stuff in it. It's just very, very delicious. So nice. She makes that. And 1 year she didn't make it, and people were very upset. So.
Is that's a Christmas dish? You have that on Christmas? Or
we have it at Thanksgiving, or we try to persuade her to make it at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of things. Because that's very good. And then growing up, my grandmother would make Christmas cookies.
Sure. From
Norway. Krumkaga.
Okay.
It was called Krumkaga, but it was just like a crumbly.
Like sugar cookies? Or?
Yeah. And it was just, but they had a certain kind of like iron skillet waffle mold iron that you would pour the batter in and could make the cookie.
Okay.
And so my niece has made that in South Florida, and usually that's pretty good. And you put powdered sugar on it, and it's just really delicious.
The Norwegian snacks flowing.
Norwegian snacks are flowing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
we did, food-wise, I always make latkes, like it's a Hanukkah thing.
Oh, Jason.
We are not.
Jason will be over.
Yeah, I love to make latkes.
That's great.
I usually do that with my kids. And then I always like a popcorn tin, like the three kinds of popcorn.
Oh,
that's a very holiday thing.
Yeah.
It's like caramel corn and cheese and butter, and it's in a thing. So they usually get me that like December 1st or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have like a popcorn tin that
I have they gotten you one already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Yeah, actually, they gave it to me pretty early this year, and I'm working. It's basically gone. I basically ate it all. And then the other food thing that we do is for New Year's Eve. Our tradition in my family was always you would make a bunch of hors d'oeuvre like snacks.
Yeah.
So it's everything from just like frozen cheese sticks and jalapeno poppers or whatever to like more involved things. And, you know, we have a bunch and kind of eat them throughout the evening and maybe play a game. And I don't know if we watch the ball drop or watch fireworks or whatever, but that's what I grew up doing. And so we mostly do that now. It's really funny because my kids, I was describing, hey, this was our tradition. And they were like, well, Mom, what were your traditions? And she couldn't think of anything. And then she was like, well, we eat black-eyed peas.
There you go.
Because it's like good luck or something. Greens
for
so you get money.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, did you stay up and like do stuff? She's like, no, we went to bed and kind of, you know, tried to ignore the fireworks. And my kids were just like, well, that's not good at all. You ate vegetables and went to bed? Let's do the other one. Let's do the one where we play games and eat fun stuff.
Eat fun stuff.
So,
that's
anyway,
right.
Like, I thought it was a funny clash of family traditions around the holidays.
Yeah, opposites usually attract. Yeah, the another Norwegian thing out there is goat cheese called Gjedos. Mm. And sometimes you can get it at Publix. Sometimes you can get it at Whole Foods. It's one of those. But that was big. And my dad would always do the southern thing. So he'd add black-eyed peas.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went off the chart and he would get like, oh, you got to have anchovies, or you got to have, you know, pickled pig feet, or you got to have all the southern stuff.
Southern charcuterie
board. It was like, okay, so yeah, I did the black-eyed peas but
But you weren't there for the pig's feet.
I wasn't there for the pig's feet, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
what about in church ministry? What has been your practice, or what are some things you can remember?
Well, I do love Christmas. It is a beautiful time where we can reflect upon Christ our Savior. I mean, those are wonderful times to celebrate Jesus and enjoy that. And I remember as a child growing up, you know, this singing and enjoying that time. You know, there was a time in the church, and a lot of churches still do that. On New Year's Eve, they do what is called a watch night service, where you would go at whatever time, 10 o'clock at night, and go and try to stay through midnight and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm old now. I'm thankful we don't kind of do that. New Year's Eve is my oldest son's birthday as well. But as far as the church goes, I really think it's the biblical narratives that we have in the gospel regarding the coming of Christ, the first advent. It is a beautiful story. It is a true story, and it's miraculous. And it, you know, you think about what was the purpose. Well, God was demonstrating his love for us. And that's amazing to come back to that and say, yeah, God loves us. God still loves us. And we can have that assurance even tomorrow that God will love us tomorrow. And that should bring us all those beautiful things we long for: joy, peace, hope,
Yeah.
And encouragement in that time. And then, you know, being with family is always good.
I think you're right. I think many times, most of the time in church, when we're reflecting on Jesus and worshiping Jesus, we're not picturing the baby in the manger. And because that's that story is kind of reserved for this special time. We're more thinking of Jesus, you know, God in flesh and the person that we relate to in prayer and who, you know, there's so many aspects of who he is, but we're not usually focusing on the birth narrative on a typical Sunday. And December, it's great that the songs and the messages, the scriptures that we read, lighting the candles, you know, mm-hmm. it's like it's a season devoted to this incredible story of when God became flesh. And it's a, you know, it happens every year. So it's a rhythm that I think is really healthy in the church life and in spiritual life. It's unifying, like it brings the church together, I think, in cool ways. And like you're talking about families too, it can do that as well. And the Advent season, you know, the Advent is all like leading up to Christmas Eve, right? So there's all this expectation. It really captures that,
yes.
That how the people of Israel are waiting and waiting for deliverance. I think that speaks to our lives in many ways, and perhaps how we even wait for Jesus now. The Advent season, I think, is really a healthy practice for the rhythm and life of the church. And I've appreciated it just personally. I think in fellowship and community, it's a good thing too.
It is. It's just a beautiful truth, you know, that, I mean, just to quote a verse, God so loved the world that he gave. Mm-hmm. And in that giving, we can experience forgiveness of sin and new life in Christ and the joy and fellowship of our Creator.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah, and it can be really small and intimate. You know, candlelight gatherings growing up, you know, where you light candles, sing Silent Night, and a cappella or whatever, that's great. It can also be like huge productions. You've been to them where they have live animals and doing a live animal nativity.
I know.
And somebody got bit by a camel.
I know, I remember.
Whatever that church was.
Yeah, that church was down in West Palm Beach. We won't mention where it was. But they had to stop after that camel came in and bit that lady.
I was just trying to go to a Christmas Eve service. Got bit by a camel.
Got bit by a camel. I know it. Incredible. That's right. Yeah, and that's, you know, that curtailed my desire to bring a live donkey in one year for, you know, put Jesus riding on a donkey. I think that'd be kind of cool around Easter time, but they didn't want to do that because, too much liability there.
Oh, yeah. Now, holiday can be really polarizing in the sense of some people really enjoy them.
Yes.
And some people really don't.
That's
like
true.
And I don't just mean people outside of the church. I mean even folks within the church.
Yeah. It can be very hard because you may just feel the loss of family.
Right.
Or you may feel lonely.
Yeah.
Or it's like, and it's hard because a lot of people battle during the holidays and depression.
Some of that's the weather even. Like it's cooler and it's darker, so that's weather related. But because it's so focused on community and family, for folks who don't have family or don't have a good experience of family, then holidays can feel exactly the opposite to how they feel for those of us who do have good family connections or church connections.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't grin and they bear it.
They just duck their head and try to get through it.
Yeah.
And really the church can speak to people on either side of that divide. I think it's important for us to remember when we're running around singing songs and we're extra happy and getting presents that not everybody is.
Correct.
And how can we also make space for the other side?
I think that's good. Yeah, where we look forward to creating space and be able to make space for them and think about the other person.
I have two scriptures today that I thought we could look at.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think are sort of reflective of that. Psalm 92, 1-4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Psalm 42, 4-8. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. In the church, we are a community, and so we experience life together, and that involves celebration, like we've been talking about in the holidays, celebrating corporately together. And it also involves mourning, you know. We have some funeral services coming up, even in the midst of holiday times, where people experience loss, and they're, you know, like this psalm says, my soul is downcast, disquieted within me, like disaffected, just like we were talking about, people get depressed during this time. And I, first of all, I love that the Psalms speak to both of those things. But as the church, we're here for both of those things. We're here for celebration, and we're also here for mourning. God is here for that, and we also need to be.
Yes. I think, I love the Psalms, and I like the way that there's a wide range of emotions expressed through them. And even, you know, Psalm 92 talks about celebrating, giving thanks, a heart filled with gratitude and thankfulness. You know, it is a time of celebration, but it is also a time of reflection. And I think in the body of Christ, in the community, we do have room for all that, and we need to embrace those who are hurting and embrace those who are lonely, as well as celebrate with those who are joyful in the process of their walk. There's a lot of Psalms that says, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, why are you downhearted? Why are you discouraged? Put your hope in God. And for all of us, that's where we need to focus.
Yeah.
Our hope is in him.
Yeah, absolutely. And when someone is experiencing depression or is sad in the holidays, of course, it's not always helpful to just quote verse 5. Like, why are you cast down? Hope in God.
Yeah,
especially within the church, they're like, I already know that, but I still feel depressed, you know?
Correct.
So sometimes just verse 4 is where you can live, because verse 4 is pointing out that, like, hey, things aren't great.
Yeah.
And, like, to acknowledge that and to say that, that's real. And you can't skip past that and just jump to, hey, why don't you just hope in God? Hey, I got an idea. How about you don't be sad?
Right.
I'll tell you what, depressed people don't want to be sad. They're like, great idea.
I think you have to be, you know, you got to be discerning. You have to be sensitive. You have to be caring, compassionate. Sometimes the best thing to do is not to say anything at all.
Yeah.
Just sit there and just be with the individual. And sometimes the best thing to do is to acknowledge, you know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't really understand what you're feeling, but I'm here.
Yeah. I think when Christmas becomes time of mourning. So like in the example you mentioned where people miss family. So if your whole life you did the same things with this person in your family and then that person's gone, that person's important to you.
Yeah.
Then Christmas now becomes like a seasonal reminder of that loss.
Yes.
And so you don't have to, I would never encourage people to pretend that that's not the case, you know, like let that be part of the rhythm of your holidays, is that now you mourn that loss again. You know, you do that together. You tell stories about the person. You remember the person. And I'm not saying that it becomes happy over time. It's still it's still mourning and it's still loss. But it can be healthy to have that reflection and to do that with others, you know, to not be alone.
Yeah. And it's okay to think about that, you know.
Right.
Just the other day this past week, you know, my nephew visited my old high school in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were talking about Jacksonville, and then he drove by the house that I was raised up in, and my brother and so forth, and he took pictures of it and so forth, and that ended up in a conversation talking, of course, about my mother and about my dad, and my dad did all the cooking in the family. So one of the memories we remember, especially when he got older and he couldn't see, he had an iron skillet, great iron skillet, but he couldn't see all the times that he would put, how much butter he put in, or he couldn't remember how much butter did I put in, and he's cooking eggs and the eggs are floating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But out of that conversation of remembering, we remembered my dad's love for cooking. We also remembered, oh, well, he's with the Lord now, and he's probably got, you know, where it says Jesus goes to prepare a place for us. He's got a great, big, big, huge kitchen now, and he's cooking with a big pan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the spiritual super butter that he wants, you know, and it's all good for you. So, but you remember that, and that becomes, instead of, man, I really miss my dad, which mm-hmm. I do at times, but it also becomes a anticipation of joy and hope. One yeah. day, because I am a follower of Jesus, I'm going to be with the Lord and see my loved ones again.
That's really cool. And that really mm-hmm. overlaps with the idea of Advent and expectation yes. and looking forward.
Yeah.
So it's looking back, but then, yeah, also looking forward. So you're yeah. right. There's cause for joy there, too.
There's cause for joy.
And verse 1, 92 verse 1, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, right? It's good to give thanks to the Lord.
Yes.
And then in 42 verse 7, deep calls into deep
yes.
as this waterfall of your presence is like cascading over me.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. It's also loud. Perhaps it even feels heavy. Mm. So there's this giving thanks to the Lord in community. And then there's this feeling of like deep connection to the Lord in the midst of suffering, you know, in the midst of being downcast.
Yeah.
And trying to remember. Mm. So I think that's a lot of what we're talking about here, you know, is both
and
giving thanks and then also, you know, remembrance.
And verse 8, you know, just struck me there that says, the Lord will command his loving kindness. You know, it's more than a feeling.
Mm.
God gives his instruction. It's a command. In the daytime and in the night, his song shall be with me, and it will be a prayer to the God of my life. It's a commandment from God. God said, okay, this is how it's going to be, and it will be accomplished and done.
Yeah. There's something about making a choice to worship and making a choice to seek God and remember God.
Yeah.
Whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley.
That's right.
It doesn't always just naturally happen.
No,
Like sometimes the presence of the Lord just draws us in.
Yes.
But a lot of times we have to purpose in our hearts to do that. And I just know a lot of people can't do that alone. Like
right.
That's the kind of thing that we can encourage each other to do and inspire
yes.
in each other, which is one of the reasons for Christian community.
That's right. Yeah, and if you're in that place and you're finding yourself to be alone and lonely and you need to have fellowship with other believers, we do encourage you to come on out and be a part of our fellowship and our celebrations and our community. One of the things I've enjoyed about our fellowship is we're a group of people who love Jesus and we do life together. Mm. So life means that we will celebrate the moments that we need to celebrate, but we'll also grieve with those who grieve and walk with those who need that encouragement and show grace. We want to be grace-filled people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show grace and just love on you with the love of Christ. And in return, you'll love on me with the love of Christ, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the beauty of community.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Just like Ted said, if you're surrounded by family right now, or if you're totally alone, remember, God is with you. He's available.
Yes.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Enjoy some krumkaga or yulakaga.
Yeah.
Or popcorn.
Yeah. What was the cheese?
Yeah.
Reckon cheese?
Yiddos
cheese.
Yeah, Yiddos cheese. There you go.
Nice.
Blessings.
Thanks again for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.